But I want you to take your Bibles and turn into the New Testament, to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation, chapter 1. As I said, we're going to begin this series here and start with somewhat of an introduction, because we find in the first few verses some introductory statements to the book. And so I'm going to lay some groundwork, make a few applications tonight, and hopefully give us an understanding as we go into this book of the Bible. And I don't want to get ahead of myself by saying things I've planned to say a little bit later in the message, because there's so much in my mind about this book of the Bible. And we're going to read today Revelation chapter 1 and just the first three verses. So if you're able to stand, I'd like to invite you to stand with me. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight and ask you this evening, Lord, that you'd please help us as we begin this new series in this book of the Bible. Lord, I ask that you'd guide and direct our thoughts, and as I preach, Lord, the things I say, and Lord, may everything we do conform to your word. Lord, I pray tonight a fresh filling of your spirit. I pray that you'd give us understanding as we go through this book. And Lord, not just to have an understanding of the things to come, but Lord, that we might be stirred to a greater level of service. Lord, I pray tonight if there's someone here in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they'd realize that they need to get saved tonight, because all they have is tonight. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. And so I pray, Lord, your blessing. Again, I need your help tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight I'd like to begin what I would call a journey through this final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Now, what's interesting about this book of Revelation is it's one of the books of the Bible that really has generated many different emotions in people. I mean, just mention the name of the book to someone and watch their expression. Not just lost people, but also believers as well. It is one of the books of the Bible that really stirs up emotions, much like the opening chapters of Genesis. When we say the simple phrase, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, boy, that'll stir up some emotions in people. And I doubt this crowd, nothing more than just encouragement, amen, and knowing what we believe is true. But bring that statement out into the world, bring it into an unbelieving world, and tell them, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and you'll get all kinds of emotions. Same is true about the book of Revelation. A lot of emotion is stirred. For some, it generates the emotion of fear. It makes them fearful of things. For others, it generates the emotion of confusion. I don't know what to think when they think of the book of Revelation. And even for others, it is the emotion of anger. Some people get angry. And one of the reasons for this is because it is the one book of the Bible that gives very clearly and in great detail what I would say is the consummation of God's plan and the final destruction of this world. You see, this world, everything you see, everything that I see, the very world that we live in, had a beginning. It began some 6,000 years ago when God said, let there be, and he created all the things we see. And so it had a very definite beginning. But may I say this tonight, it also will have an end. It's going to definitely have an end. And may I say, in the near future. I mean, think about that for a moment. Everything we see people wrapped up in, all the stuff that we buy, All the stuff that is tangible, the very earth that we walk on, the very stars that we see, the sun and the moon, all of that, imagine all of that one day is going to be gone, destroyed, burnt up by fire. Think about that. The book of Revelation tells us in detail how it's going to happen. How it's going to happen. You know, it's interesting to me how intrigued and believing that mankind is when they hear the words of people like phony psychics, or they read a fortune cookie, or they hear the words of mystics or worldly prognostics like Nostradamus, or they hear people that are doomsdayers, if you will. Yet that very man that clings to the very words of those phony psychics and mystics and prognostics, they resent being told the future by the authoritative source that we have, the Word of God. It's amazing, isn't it? Why is this? Why is this? Well, I believe it's because man naturally rejects any prediction about their future that is negative. Matter of fact, they reject anything that's negative at all. And they reject any prophecies of a future judgment of God that is coming on an unbelieving world. May I say it again? There is a future judgment coming on this unbelieving world. It's going to be here. You know, it kind of reminds me of what King Ahab did in 1 Kings chapter 22, what he said of the prophet Micaiah. You know, it's interesting because I liken that to how the world thinks. He says this. He said to Ahab, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him. He said, there's a prophet over here. His name's Micaiah. You know, we can go to him about the Lord. But let me tell you something. I hate him. Why so, King Ahab? He goes on to say, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. I've met people that come to church, and they want to come to church, but they only hear good things. Tell me how good I am. Tell me how wonderful I am. And, you know, certainly all of us should be encouraged, but we need the truth more than we need anything else. And the truth, when we deal with the book of Revelation, is clear cut. There is a judgment coming upon this world, an absolute judgment. You see, people in this world do not want to be told that their behavior is sinful. They don't want to be told that God is not pleased with their life. They don't want to be told about this impending doom and that there's a judgment coming that cannot be stopped. And this is exactly what the book of Revelation does. It speaks of the world-ending judgment that's to come. I want you to notice, if you will, as I give us just a few little introductory remarks about this book tonight. Notice in verse 3, there's six words, I believe, at the last portion of verse 3. And I want these words to sink into your mind and my mind. And that is this: for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. You know, we have seen a rapid unfolding of Bible prophecy in our lifetime. It is unbelievable. A rapid unfolding that has set the stage for what we're going to read about in this book. I mean, we have seen in this generation, and perhaps you may say a little bit further back, the rebirth of the nation of Israel. We have seen the rise of Russia to the status again of world power. By the way, the name of Russia in the Bible is Magog. We'll see them later on in the book of Revelation. We've seen Russia dominate the Middle East and dominate key parts of Africa. We've seen the rise of Europe and their desire for collectivism. And by the way, trying to swoop us into that collectivism and doing it as well. We have seen the awakening of China. We have seen the sudden wealth, importance, and influence of the Muslim and Arab world based on their control of the world's oil. We have seen the resurgence of militant Islam. We've seen the political and moral bankruptcy of the nations. We've seen the rise of the Sodomite society. We've seen the brooding threat of nuclear war. We've watched the rise of lawlessness. We've seen the apostasy of the professing church. We're in the midst of it right now. We've seen the vast changes in the Roman Catholic Church. We've seen the revival of the occult. We've seen the staggering strides of science and technology that brings us right to some of the things we're going to see later in this book. We've seen the trend toward totalitarianism. We've seen the ecological threat to the planet. Understand what we're watching here. It's almost like we're seeing this big puzzle, and we're watching piece by piece, a big jigsaw puzzle, be put in a place to fulfill God's plan. We're watching it before our very eyes. It's there. They all fit together. And let me say this. We ought to be warned, because the time is at hand. Folks, it's here. You know, too many of God's people are sleeping. Sleeping. You say, preacher, I'm not sleeping in the service. Well, some of you are. Not all of you. And I'm sorry about that. I heard a preacher once say, I guess you trust the pastor so much, you're just going to figure that whatever he says is true, and you don't have to worry about it. So I'm just going to go to sleep, and you let me know when it's all over. I'm talking about sleeping to the things of God. I'm talking about sleeping, awake, but asleep spiritually. Folks, the time is at hand. It's at hand. Let's notice several things that we can learn as we look at these first three verses in an introductory way of this book of the Bible. Notice, first of all, number one, the proper name of this book. The proper name of this book. You know, unlike most of the books of the Bible, this book gives its own name in the first five words. Please notice it. Please do. Please make note of it. Notice it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Can I say this? This book is not entitled Revelations. Revelations. Ugh. I hate when I hear that. I'm reading Revelations. That's not what it is. The word, understand, the word revelation, and here's why it's so important. You may think that I'm straining at gnats. I'm not straining at gnats. You see, the word revelation is not referring to the visions that John received. It's not talking about, oh, John received revelations, so it's talking about revelations. That's not what it is. It's also not the revelation of St. John the Divine. I don't know if you have a Scofield Bible. I do. I use it because I'm familiar with the verses. But if you look at the top, and I know this isn't scripture. This is just stuff added to be a help to us. But mine says at the top, the revelation of St. John the Divine. Do you see it right there? And did you notice what I did? If you came up close, you'd see that I crossed it out. Because it is not the revelation of St. John the Divine. Now, the Apostle John was a faithful man of God, no doubt. Used of God in a great way. But understand, John is not the one that's being revealed. It's not him at all. Again, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, the word revelation is translated from the Greek word apocalyptus. Apocalypse. That's where it's from. That's where we get the word, the apocalypse. Some people call this book of the Bible the apocalypse, and that's fine. But here's what the word means. Watch this. It means to take away the veil, to unveil. And the person that is being unveiled to the world in this book of the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You see, the Bible reveals the Lord Jesus Christ in two ways. The first way he is revealed is as the wounded lamb. That was his first coming. That's when he came as a babe in the manger. That's when he went to the cross of Calvary. That's when he came to this earth at his first coming as a lamb to the slaughter. He came in humility. He came as a man. He came to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. He came to allow his own rebellious creation to mock him, to scourge him, to nail him to the cross. He came to willingly pay our sin debt so that you and I might have eternal life. Amen? That was his first coming. It's described in Isaiah 53:3 is this. He is despised and rejected of men. a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But understand, not everyone recognized or recognizes Jesus Christ for who he is, the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, the one I spoke of this morning, who is the King of kings and Lord of lords, the one to whom we should worship, we should bow down to, we should submit to. Many today deny his existence. Many today mock his holy name. Many today will sneer at the gospel. They'll sneer at his commands. They'll sneer at his claims, and they'll even sneer at his people. Many will do that. They'll refuse to acknowledge him for who he is. That was the wounded lamb. But there's another lamb that the Bible talks about. And it's not the wounded lamb. We'll call it the wrathful lamb. I once saw a bumper sticker that said this. It was kind of funny. It said, Jesus Christ is coming again. And he's not happy. You know what they're talking about? The wrathful lamb. You see, the day is coming that Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen? Amen? And we thank the Lord for that. But this time, understand, he is not coming as a wounded lamb, but he's coming as the wrathful lamb. Understand, he is going to be revealed as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We read in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7 and 8, who shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it is at this second coming, his revelation to this world, that every eye shall see him, that every knee shall bow, that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everybody's going to see it. You see, the one that we have been proclaiming to be not only the Savior of the world, but the King of kings and Lord of lords, is coming again. Can I say this tonight? If you're here and you're not saved, you better get saved tonight. Because the time's at hand. This book is true. Jesus Christ is coming again. Today, tonight, the door is wide open. He calls and he says, whosoever will. But understand, there's going to come a day when that's not going to be there anymore. Understand that. Your opportunity to be saved will be gone. So get saved tonight. Because he's coming again. You see, he's going to be unveiled to this world so that every single human being will see Jesus Christ for who he truly is. And the book of Revelation tells us very descriptively and in much detail how it's going to happen. You see, the book is the revelation of Jesus Christ, not of St. John. So understand, we have the proper name of the book. Notice, secondly, also the penman of the book. Who penned this book? Notice we read in verse 1 again, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel, notice, unto his servant John. John. You see, the person that God is going to use, or use, I should say, to pen this book of the Bible is the Apostle John. Now, I hope we understand who he is. The Bible tells us much about him. John was the brother of James. He was the son of Zebedee. If you remember, he was a fisherman. He was called to be an apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as he called the other apostles. If you remember, the first call went out to Peter and Andrew, his brother. Then the next set of brothers were James and John. They were the third and fourth apostles, if you will. He was that one that was known as the beloved disciple. He was used of God to pen five books of the Bible, the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book here of Revelation. Now, what is unique about this Apostle John, this disciple, is that it's believed that he is the only one, the only apostle to have had or die a natural death. All of the others were martyred, absolutely, in some really crazy ways, they were killed. You see, after Christ ascended back to heaven, it was John that took care of Mary. It was John that became the pastor at the church of Ephesus. You know, the book of Fox's Book of Martyrs tells us that John planted lots of churches. He planted the church of Smyrna, Pergamos, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, and Thyatira. It was during the 90s he was captured by the Roman Emperor Diocletian, and he was sent to the island of Patmos. He was thrown in a cauldron of boiling oil. Imagine that. He miraculously survived, and he was cast and sent out to the island of Patmos. The island of Patmos was a place where they sent criminals, where they sent people. It was kind of like, if you will, a quarry. It was this little island. It was a part of the Grecian government, if you will, and it was just off the coast of Turkey. It was a little island about 8 miles long, about 1 mile wide, and they sent them there to work in the mines. It was actually the quarry mine for the Roman Empire. This is where he was, exiled to this island of Patmos, where he penned this book. Now, what's interesting, if you have a Scofield Bible and you'd look at the date of the book, it's an accurate date. You'd read, if you have a study Bible, this book of the Bible was penned in the year 96 AD. Think about that year. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary about 33 AD. This was penned in 96 AD. That was about 63 years after Christ's death and ascension. So by the time John is out here on this island of Patmos, understand, all of the apostles have been martyred. John himself is well over 90 years old. I mean, a lot has gone on. Now, after all these years, after all that he has been through and all he has seen, notice how the Lord describes him in verse 1. We read at the end of the verse, we'll read, and he sent and signify it by his angel unto his what? Servant, John. He was a servant. At that age, still serving God. After all he had seen, still serving God. After watching his Lord leave this earth and ascend back to heaven and preach the gospel to an unbelieving world, still serving God. As he pastored the church of Ephesus and yet got captured and thrown in that oil, if you will, boiling oil, still serving God. As he was exiled to the island of Patmos at the age of 90 plus years, still serving God. Can I make an application here and say this? There is no greater thing you can do and I can do with our lives than to serve God. You know, it's interesting because that word there unto his servant, John, it's the same word that the Apostle Paul used in many of his epistles. It's the Greek word doulos, which means bond slave. It means bond servant. It is the description of somebody who has willingly surrendered his life to the Lord, who has willingly yielded his rights to the Lord's will, who has gladly submitted to the rulership of Jesus Christ. And can I say it again? There's nothing better that you and I can do with our lives, our entire lives, than to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What a wonderful thing to serve him. Do you know, serving the Lord, being faithful for this many years as John was, is greater than any position that you can gain. It is greater than any title that you may earn or profits you may earn, any power that you may have, any fame or recognition that others may give you. And I cannot think of anything that's needed more in the days that we live today in 2015 than for every member of Capital Baptist Church to be a servant, a doulos, a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we need servants. Do you believe that you need to serve today? You know, think about it. Believers whose lives are not their own. I'm talking about believers that don't say, what's my plan for what I want to do and the direction I want to do? But believers that look, lift up their eyes to heaven and say, Lord, and not my will, but thine. Lord, here am I. Ascend me. I want to serve you with all my life. Oh, what a man that God used to pen this book of the Bible. Oh, he was there willing to go anywhere, willing to do anything, all at his master's bidding. I'll tell you what, when it's all said and done, we'll be glad we did. Can I let that phrase ring in your ear again? For the time is at hand. Oh, so many people say, well, preacher, I'll serve the Lord as soon as I get some things straight in my life. Preacher, I'll serve the Lord and I'll come to church and I'll be faithful as soon as I get this addition put on my home. As soon as I get some things worked out in my marriage. As soon as I do this. As soon as I get my finances straight. Can I say again today that the time to serve the Lord is now? Because the Bible says it, declares it over and over again. Hey, the time is at hand. It's at hand. Time's running out. The truth of the matter is, you don't know what tomorrow has in store. You don't know. So notice, first of all, the proper name of this book. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. The penman of this book is the Apostle John, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, I want you to notice the promise of this book. You know, this book has an interesting thing. It does. It gives us a promise. Notice what it says in verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You know, God promises something for all of us that know him as Savior according to this book. Notice he says, a blessing. Again, blessed is he. You know, there are seven beatitudes in the book of Revelation. Seven of them. You say, Beatitudes? I thought that was the Sermon on the Mount. Well, the word Beatitudes just means blessings. In other words, the phrases that start with blessed are. Well, there's actually seven of them that God uses in the book of Revelation. Chapter 1 and verse 3, we find the first one. Chapter 14 and verse 13, we find the second one. Chapter 16 and verse 15 is the third one. Chapter 19 and verse 9 is the fourth one. Chapter 20 and verse 6 is the fifth, 22:7 is the sixth, and 22:14 is the seventh. So here is the first. God says, blessed is he. Imagine, you and I can obtain a blessing if we do something. Not about you, I won't be blessed of God. But what are we to do? Notice he says, if we will simply notice, circle the words if you would, he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. So there's a blessing if we simply do three things. Read the prophecy of this book. You know, people I've talked to, believers, say, I don't read the book of Revelation. I said, why? Well, it scares me. It scares me, preacher. Well, you know, the Bible says, blessed is he that readeth. Amen. And by the way, we should read all the Bible. Amen. Whether we understand it or not or whatever, you know, we should read it all. But notice again, read it and also hear the words and then notice, obey what is written herein. So notice the threefold promise, if you will, blessed for reading, hearing, and obeying. You know, some of what we're going to find in this book as we read it is going to be alarming. It's going to be alarming. We're going to read some things that you're going to go, ooh. That's a big deal. That's really going to happen on this earth? Yes. Do you know that as we approach the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that our circumstances are going to get worse and worse. Wow, election next year. Wow, maybe things will get better. Barring revival, and I believe in possible revival, amen, barring revival, it's not going to get better. It is going to get worse. You say, why? Because we have the book. We know what it says. It's a Bible promise. Lest you doubt what I'm saying, 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. We are absolutely promised that in the last days sin will abound. Well, I can't believe what they're doing in this world. Really? Read the book. Well, I can't believe that they'd legalize same-sex marriage. Read the book. I can't believe that we would get to the place that we're legalizing gambling, we're legalizing marijuana. I mean, think about what's going on in this world. How can we change it? Read the book. That's the way it's going to go. That's the way it's going to go. That's what the Bible says. We are promised that sin will abound. You say, preacher, what about these churches? All the churches we see all around us, and there are still some good churches. But my point is this, many of them are apostatizing. They're going liberal. They're compromising. They're not preaching the word of God. I mean, all they have is feel-good fests going on. What's that all about? Read the book. Read the book. This though also in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, all that. It's going to happen in the last days. And we are in the last of the last days. So you know what that means? It means there's going to be a great temptation for all of us to go with the flow. There's going to be a great temptation for all of us to compromise doctrine. There's going to be a great temptation for all of us to either drop or lower our standards. There's going to be a great temptation for all of us to just go ahead and give up the fight and just throw in the towel and say, what's the use? But let us never forget that the Word of God has not changed. Still the same. You know what was right 50 years ago is still right today. What was right and wrong 100 years ago is still right and wrong today. And remember that no matter what the circumstances that we face, God promises us if we will simply read and hear and keep those things which are written in this book, that he will bless us, that he will enable us, and he will use us to bring glory to himself. What does God require in us? Simply this. He requires in stewards that we be found faithful. Faithful to the end. And you know, when this is all said and done, you may be tired tonight of fighting the fight. You may be tired today of being laughed at for being identified with Jesus Christ. You may be tired tonight of hearing it from perhaps unsaved family members laughing because you're here on a Sunday night in church and you're holding your Bible and you're talking about the scriptures and you're telling people how to be saved and you're handing out tracts. They may laugh at you. They may mock you. They may make fun of you. They may sneer at you. They may make comments about you behind your back. But let me say this. When it's all said and done, you'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you did. You see, Capital Baptist Church, we must remain faithful because the time is at hand. It's here. We are standing on the threshold of what we're going to read in the next few months in the book of Revelation. These are things that are going to happen. As sure as every other promise in the Bible, hundreds of prophecies that have been fulfilled already, these will be fulfilled as well. Again, the time is at hand. I hope tonight, if you're lost, you should think about that. Because the time's at hand. There's a real heaven. There's a real hell. And there's real grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. God offers to you tonight the free gift of salvation. You don't have to come to this church to be saved. You don't have to become a Baptist to be saved. You don't have to do any religious ritual to be saved. You don't even have to change your life to be saved. He'll change it for you. Amen. All you have to do is repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as Savior, recognizing He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. He is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Recognize Him as the Lamb today, because you want to meet Him as the Lamb of God and not as the wrathful Lamb that you're going to meet if you don't accept Him as your Savior. Let's pray together.